God bless each one of you with favor, with direction, with success, with all that He has for you. My message today is preparing for the future. Now, we all have a future. We don't know the future. There's an old song that says, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. And we all have a future. My friend Leonard Ravenhill had a sign above his desk that just said eternity. There will be an eternity. And so there is a personal preparation for the future. And those of us that have made that commitment to the Lord, we know that part of our future. We may not know, like they say at funerals, the dash between the birth and the death. We may not know that. But we do know after death there is a future. I have no problem believing that to be absent from your body is to be present with the Lord, because the Bible says that. And so we do have a future that is there in eternity that we know about. We also know that if we don't have Jesus, there is an eternity there too. There is a future there, and it's not lovely. It's not with the love of God. It's been said that if you took a rebellious, selfish sinner and put him in heaven, he'd be miserable. Because it's totally against everything he was for. And there's not going to be that sudden change that makes them into a Christian. The only change that comes place that prepares us for that future is when we're born again. I think too many times we say, well, just say the sinner's prayer. Just accept the Lord. Well, you know, just like clicking on your computer, yes, I accept, okay, do you want to save this document? Yes, and that's kind of all it's become. But truly, to be prepared for the future as a person, it takes being born again, and that's by the Spirit of God. It takes conviction and repentance and receiving and walking with Jesus to get prepared for that future. So we're going to have that future as well. But to start with, I'm going to share something with you that I found that if you don't remember about anything else I said, you just forget what if you forget what I just said or whatever, well, you'll remember this. It's called Don't Lose Your Marbles. Let me tell you something that has helped me to keep a good perspective on my priorities. This man says, I sat down one day and did a little arithmetic. The average person lives about 75 years. We're not there yet, no. Now then, I multiplied 75 times 52 and came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays that the average person has in his lifetime. Did you enjoy your Saturday yesterday? Did you rest? He says, it took me until I was 55 years old to think about this in any detail. And by that time, I had lived already through 2,800 Saturdays. So, I got to thinking that if I lived to be 75, I only had about 1,000 of them left to enjoy. So, I went out and bought 1,000 marbles and put them in a clear plastic container in a favorite work area of my home. Every Saturday since then, I've taken out one marble and thrown it away. I found as I watched the marbles diminish, I focused more on the more important things in life. There's nothing like watching your time here on earth run out to help you get your priorities straight. Now let me tell you one last thought before I sign off and take my lovely wife to breakfast. Now, that's a good idea. This morning, I took the very last marble out of the container. I figured if I make it till next Saturday, then I've been given a little extra time. We can't choose whether we will get any more time, but we can choose what to do with it. Let that sink in. And value every day. Husbands, wives, value every day of your marriage together. Men, value every day. The women usually live longer. They're supposed to be the weaker vessel, but men, Value every day that you get to spend with your wife. Value every day you get to live for the Lord and say, this is the day the Lord has made. We will be glad and rejoice in it. So we have a future personally. We have a future corporately. We have a future as a church. And, you know, this scripture in Jeremiah 29:11 is more recently become popular, but it's been there all the time. It's been there all the time. And God was speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, and God was saying, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He's thinking about you. He knows your name. He knows your address. He knows that you're here today. He knows whether you're going to go to sleep or turn this off or listen to what God has given me to share with you today. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. He is not out to get you. He's out to save you. He says to give you a future and a, say it again, that's in our name, and a hope that He is there. So we have a future. And as a congregation, we started on October the 7th, 1990, and here it is in 2014, and we have a future. We've had a future since that day, but we have a future of what God is going to do with this fellowship, this body of believers, this church. And John chapter 9, verse 4 says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. While we have opportunity, while it's in our hands, while we are here, while we have an opportunity. He says, while it is day, for night comes when no man can work. And I truly believe that with the condition of our country, that there's going to be days ahead. There's going to be a challenge to the church. It's going to be a challenge to the believer. It's already happening. And that we are going to realize, he said one time that he was with A.W. Tozer, and he was there for 5 hours, and Brother Tozer said not one word. He was raptured in just relationship with the Lord. You ever been there? Maybe not for 5 hours, maybe for 5 minutes, where that you know that you've entered in to the presence of the Lord. And that can be a personal time of worship, and it needs to be there first thing every morning, that we say we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto us, that we seek the Lord, we spend time with Him, we are there with Him. And As a little kid, Kenneth Hagin held a revival for my father, and they had morning prayer meetings during the revival. And I was just a little boy inside the church there. We lived in the back of the church. That didn't get me saved, but I did live in the back of the church. And, you know, it worked out pretty good because on rainy days, I could play in the auditorium. And I had the altar there, and I had one of these airplanes. You could take a rubber band and wind it up, and I could put it on the altar, and that was my landing strip, and it would fly out over the congregation. And so I was there that morning for the prayer meeting, and Brother Hagin was laying on the floor on his back on the platform, and all of a sudden I just heard him saying, okay, yes. I never thought of that. And he was conversing with the Lord. He was hearing God speak. And that's what this time with the Lord needs to be, that we're there to have a hearing of the Word of God. That we have, that's when the Lord convicts too. That's when the Lord directs. That's when He instructs us. That's when He heals our hurts and our broken hearts, is we are there in His presence. That's when He wraps His arms around us, and we wrap our arms around Him. That's when we get the hugs of Jesus. Right there in the secret place, in a time of prayer. And that's a time there that we spend with Him ministering to the Lord. I believe that on Wednesday nights, when we gather here with those that are alive and remaining, everybody else has forsaken us and gone to their groups, but that's okay. We need that too. But we gather here for a time of intercession. And what we're doing there is we are saying, God, this burdens you. And it burdens me, and I'm going to join with you in ministering to you by reaching out and coming against the powers of darkness and being able, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to lift those things up. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think that what we're experiencing today just happened, or is it because of prayer? Is it because of the intercession? Is it because of those that have been faithful to this congregation through the years, and they have remembered their pastor and their team of leadership in prayer? They've remembered one another in prayer. That's ministry to the Lord too, because He loves us. Don't you know how good it feels when people brag on our children? Well, see, when we are praising Him, and when we're there praying for one another's needs, it blesses the Lord, because we're His children. We're there. So the intercession is very important as far as ministry to the Lord. And this ministry to the Lord is both personal and corporate. So as we come together, well, we are ministering to the Lord. I believe that we can minister to the Lord eating ice cream with a friend. Because it's fellowship. That's got to be the right conversation. It's got to be the right friend. But I believe that fellowship, as we gather on a Sunday morning and we go to that donut shop in there, that coffee shop in there, and we are talking to each other, we're greeting each other. The greeters are ministering to the Lord when they minister to you. There is a ministry to the Lord there. Let's look at Matthew 14. 23. It's the story of Jesus finding a time to minister to His Father. When He sent the multitudes away, He went up to the mountain by Himself to pray. He wanted to minister to His Father. It was both ways. I believe the Father ministered back to Him as well. But it says He went somewhere by Himself to pray. Now, corporate prayer, prayer between husbands and wives, the prayer in meetings, getting together and beginning in prayer, praying over your food, this is all good. But to get by yourself, when that miracle happened, and the day we sold our dream home out on Highway 155, and 20 minutes after we signed the contract, there was a lady saying, "I was praying this morning, God told me to give you our farm in Lindale." And as time went on, I found out that she wanted to, but her husband didn't. And when he said, "If I give them the land, they don't have any money, they can't put any buildings on it." And I thought, you know, he's right. And God spoke to me and said, build a place to pray and pray everything else into existence. So before we ever got the land, because it took 17 months of I had to go to Washington, D.C. and work our 501c3 personally into being. Before we got the land, I'd already asked them if we could build a little prayer chapel on a hill there. It was built on their property at the time, but we had faith it would be ours. But that was a place where you could go and be alone. And people use it. They call me and say, "Can I come and spend a few days out there? I want to be alone." I have to tell them, look, it's not comfortable. You know, you might have to bring your own water. But it's a place in the woods to get alone with God. And my goodness. One day I was going up from my house, which was a mobile home that's behind where our offices are now. And I was going up through there, and I was going to the main building there to, did I call it a building? I was going up there, now it's called the World Commission Center. I was going up there, and the Lord said, "Keep walking." And so I just kept walking. He said, "Go to the prayer chapel." And I went to the prayer chapel, and I was there by myself, and I was in ministry to the Lord. I said, "God, what are you wanting to tell me?" He said, "I am going to take you and your team, and I'm going to build little fires and different places, and then the Holy Spirit wind is going to blow that into a massive movement." And I thought, "Oh, okay, Lord, is that what you want to tell me?" So I went down, and I walked into the building there, and the first person that was there, I said, "You know what God just told me?" He said, "Did He tell you why more people are leaving than coming?" There's always that one to pour water on the fire, you know. But did you know that vision came to pass, and it still comes to pass And what Jacob just shared, that's part of that fire that God was talking about that day. And so, but that comes, that happens when we get alone. Jesus went by himself to pray. There was many people coming. Other places that he said, I've got to come apart. And some people say, come apart before you come apart. That we have to come apart and we have to find that time where we minister to the Lord by ourselves. And you could even pour out your complaint to him. He understands it anyway. He knows what you're thinking. And so we can pour out our complaint to him in those times alone. Worship. Worship. It's acknowledging who he is and what he's done for us. 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. He deserves it. You say, what offering? Well, we took the tithes and offerings. Great. I believe he deserves us. He deserves us. He deserves our worship. He deserves our praise to him. It blesses him when we lift our hearts in true worship to him and we acknowledge he's an awesome God. He's a mighty God. He's a great God. He's a faithful God. He is God. Romans 12:12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I want to talk about that reasonable service. The New Living Translation says it like this, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. And so it's not just singing those songs. It's not just being able to sit out there and clap your hands. It's a lifestyle of worship. So when we acknowledge him and we lift our hearts to him and clean hands and a pure heart, we lift him up and we acknowledge him. We enter into his presence. That's worship. But also as we leave and as we go about our daily lives, it says this is the true way to worship him. Not just what you do on Sunday, but what you do as you're out in the marketplace, in the world around us, as you're out there to be hope. The scripture says that if anybody asks you the reason for the hope that's within you, be ready to tell them why. Because we have hope. The other priority is ministry to the church. Someone wrote a song, Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Oh, me and Jesus, we got it all worked out. That is a wrong song. We're part of a body. Yes, it's a personal relationship on your knees or wherever you are when you get born again. But after that, it's moving into a local church body that we would be able to do that. That's one of the reasons we started this church, because we had people zealous coming into Calvary Commission, and they said, you know, the church isn't doing it, but we're doing it. I thought, we need a local church so they'll really understand that it's made up of different kinds of people and that we have problems like everybody else we have to work through, but it's that local church. Jesus said, I will build my church. So it's his idea, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we minister to his church. And we minister even like next Saturday morning with our hands. And we clean and we find that place. We find that gifting that God has for us that we can be part of the body. And we minister to his church. What is the ingredients of a healthy church? I want it to be healthy. We do not want to just be another church on the block. We want it to be an effective church, a healthy church that is doing what God would want out of the church, his will, and that we'd be a kingdom-minded church. First of all, yes, it is worship. And it's not just an excellent team up here. Now, I don't want them to make all those mistakes, hit the wrong chords. That irritates my ear for music. But that's not the purpose, to entertain us in the congregation. It's to lead us and to challenge us into true worship. and that we would be a worshiping church, that would be our priority, that we would have a ministry to Jesus and a ministry to the church, and that we would be, as a healthy church, a worshiping church. And I want us to move more and more into that. You know, for us to be a true worshiping church, we don't need the distractions. I had to apologize to one of our leaders. I said, I hate to say this while you're worshiping, but I need to tell you something. But see, that was a distraction. But other distractions can be people talking. It can be people getting up and moving. Oh, I said it at the wrong time. I know she has to go. Okay. She's just checking on the baby. Okay, sorry, Cindy. But we can be so distracting that people cannot worship. So we need to pray for our worship team as they prepare in prayer and in practice to lead us into true worship. Another ingredient of a healthy church is discipleship, and that's what Jason's going to do this last situation there. But it's more than that. It's being able to walk side by side with people and encourage them and not scold them into change, but motivate them into change. And discipleship is becoming a disciplined believer. It's being a follower of Jesus. It's growing in the Lord. We need more leaders. We need more workers. And that's got to be through discipleship. That's how it's going to come. We need more people for the Dream Center, but it's going to come as discipleship happens, because you can't send people out until they're prepared. We have to prepare them first, because they need discipleship. There's in mission studies, there's a word called attrition, and it means people that went to the field, but they weren't ready, and they came back and never went again. In fact, most of them will even leave church because they're so disappointed in themselves. So we have to can't lay hands suddenly on anyone. We have to disciple people, prepare them, get them ready so that they can, to much is given, much is required. And as we grow in the Lord, then we're able to serve the body even more. And so discipleship is so necessary. We have to deal with our personal problems. We have to deal with our relationship problems with others so that we can grow and be a disciplined believer and a follower of the Lord. The third part of an ingredient of a healthy church is evangelism. And that's where that we see the world around us and we know that they need to come. What God is so displeased with is a church that is so elite that they don't want to grow. They're satisfied with the people that are there, and they don't want any newcomers to come in and mess up their party. And so we don't want that. We want to go out and find the people that are lost, and they're not just on Lyon Street on Mondays. That's an ingredient, people that are lost, but there's corporate presidents that don't know the Lord. There is wealthy people that don't know the Lord, and they need to come and find something real that they can put their trust in, and that's Jesus, and that's a congregation that would accept them. Evangelism. The fourth ingredient of a healthy church is to have compassionate ministries. That we have a ministry of compassion and we're reaching out to meet the social needs, the physical needs of people, to draw them to the Lord, that they might be able to see the real Jesus as we go and show His love. Sometimes with these acts of kindness that we would do, like adopt a block, mowing yards, and this type of thing, that they would know who to call when there's a need because they found some people that are not the usual Christians. We need to do worship. We need to do discipleship. We need to do evangelism. We need to have compassion. Compassion is seeing the need, feeling the hurt, and doing something about the need. Reaching out and getting our hands involved in those around us. And I just thank the Lord for what's happened here in that area of ministry. If you want to see compassion ministry, come on Wednesday night. See what God is doing. I like the song that Davion started with this morning. Look what the Lord has done. We need to minister in His vineyard. In His vineyard. And that's Jerusalem, literally, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I believe that as we are a healthy church, we can start other churches. I believe we can raise up pastors from within our congregation. And that as we move forth, we can raise up missionaries within our congregation that can go out and make a difference in a place that no one else is there. I believe as we go out into the vineyard, we can face the impossible. And we can say, with Jesus, we can do it. Matthew 14, verse 14 through 21. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. They're there. They're out there. They drive by. Just look at those cars. How many people are going to hell? Not just going to Glendale or going south, but they're going to hell. He was moved with compassion for them. This was Jesus. He was moved with compassion for them. He healed their sick. Healing is more than physical. It's emotional. It's spiritual. It's physical. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place. The hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." What'd they say? You know, they were just learners. My goodness, they forsook him and fled at the crucifixion. And so at his arrest, and so, but they had said, send them away. Now, I want to ask you, do you want to send them away when God brings them here? Do you want to send them away? Jackie Pullinger was a young lady from England, just like Leslie. As a young girl, maybe 18, well, she said God spoke to her to get on a boat. He said, "I'll tell you when to get off." So she went and got on a boat. And she got off at Hong Kong. She started a ministry among the heroin addicts, among the people. I heard her say this. She said, "Lord, you said to feed them. I don't have to get struck with a lightning bolt to do it. You just said to feed them." This scripture here says in verse 16, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." That's our command. And they said to him, "We have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Jesus said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He believed in order. Thank you for your respect this morning. We have order. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples. They gave them to the multitudes. We have to receive from Jesus if we're going to have something to give to others. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. Talking about multiplication. Talking about facing the impossible, but with the Lord. We can face the impossible with the power of Jesus. We have a great commandment that says to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We have a great commission that says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, all peoples. Preach the gospel to all nations, to all people, everywhere, to go everywhere to everyone and preach. That's the great, great commandment, the great commission. The woman at the well was an interesting thought that I was studying this week. That actually, let's just read it. John 4:7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew? I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with the Samaritans." I ask you this morning, if we're going to be a healthy church, you have people you don't want to be around. You have classes of people or nationalities of people or cultures of people that you don't want to be around. Is that the Jesus way? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. This woman was a Samaritan. She was a member of a hated mixed race. Was known to be living in sin. She was in a public place. No respectable Jewish man would go talk to a woman under such circumstances. But Jesus did. The good news is for every person, no matter what his or her race, whatever his or her social position, whatever his or her past sins. Sinners are welcome here. Come as you are, but go away different. We must be prepared to share the good news at any time, in any place. Jesus crossed all barriers to share the good news, and we who follow him must do the same. We can do no less. The disciples were forced to associate with the Samaritans as they even went into town to buy food. See, they didn't even want to do that, but Jesus told them, go in and get some food. But he had something else in mind. He had the woman at the well. We must cross all barriers to share this good news. This is more than telling it. It's living it in front of them. This is living hope. Great Commission, Luke 14, verse 21. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. I didn't enjoy Virginia Ware dying. I enjoyed preaching her funeral because I was able to say she can see now. But we loved her, and there will be more that God wants to bring in. The servant said, Master, it's done as you commanded, and still there is room. Then the master said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper. Living water. Your future and our future. Now it's high time to awake out of sleep. Romans 13, and do this knowing the time. And now it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. I've said from the beginning that we want hope and holiness. We want changed lives. We want to leave the darkness and come into the light with the grace and power of the Lord. Not in jewelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Okay, let's get personal, preparing for your future. John 14, 2, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's preparing a place for every believer. Are you preparing a place for him? What's going to happen on Judgment Day? Matthew 25, 21, and the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You look forward to that day? Stand with me, please. We're going to be receiving the Lord's Supper this morning, and it's a table that we participate together. The reason that I always say, just hold the emblems and we'll partake of them together, is because we're a family. We're at his table. And that the blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus, is that which is shared. It's shared with each other. It's shared with one another. And so as we stand here, I want to pray, and I'm going to ask you to prepare yourself. This is preparing for the future. Prepare yourself to receive the Lord's Supper. Prepare yourself. The Scripture teaches us that we need to prepare. We don't need to come in unless we have clean hands and a pure heart. And we can do that as we pray this morning. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you've got more vision for our lives than we ever would think about. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Lord, you've got a vision for the church. You said it's your church, and you'll build it. So, Lord, we ask you today, Lord, to help us prepare ourselves now to receive from your table. Lord, you said that continue to do this until you come. And Lord, we know that we're preparing for your coming, either at the bedside, at death, or in the time that you would take us all up to heaven to be with you. Lord, it's all in your hands, and we pray, God, that we would prepare ourselves right now through repentance. Prepare ourselves, Lord, through acknowledging what your blood is, that it's the blood of Jesus that is necessary for the forgiveness of our sin. Lord, not of bulls and goats, but of the precious Lamb of God that shed his life, you, Jesus, on the cross of Calvary. Your blood was shed that we might be forgiven, that we might be saved. So, Lord, prepare us right now. I ask three of our brothers to come this morning, Robert and Tim and Jason. We're going to ask this section in the back to come and partake here with Brother Jason. Hold your emblems. This intersection with Brother Tim. And this section and the youth come first. Here with Brother Robert. Glory be to God. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Sing it.
It's all the blood of Jesus. It's all the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. What can wash away? But the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah. There's healing in the blood.
Can make me whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Why can't wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's all precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's all the blood of Jesus. the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Lift up the bread to the Lord and say, this is your body. Blessed be God. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be Jesus. Jason, pray over the body.
Thank you, Lord.
Precious Jesus.
Lord, as we hold up this emblem this morning, Father, we thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, in bodily form.
Thank you, God.
Who then took that body that was broken, marred, and bruised for our iniquities and crushed for our transgressions. And broken for our sins. God, we thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, God, to pay that price. To pay that price, Lord God, that today, Lord, that in this body today, Lord God, that your Spirit can dwell, Lord, in holiness and sanctification today, God, as we have been forgiven, Lord. Lord, today we give you glory and honor, Father. We thank you for your body, God, that you gave for us, that was broken for us, Lord. And so, Lord, we do this in remembrance of you today and what you did when you died upon that cross.
Thank you, Lord.
When you were nailed on that cross for us, oh, Lord God, we remember that.
Precious God.
That you loved us, Lord.
This is worship.
You loved us enough to sacrifice your life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Let us partake together.
Amen.
Take the cup as we pray over it, Brother Tim.
Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son, Lord. And Father, that he was willing to pay the price for my sins, for each one of our sins this morning. Father, we thank you for that blood that was shed at Calvary, Lord. The sin covering, Lord, that covered our sins and removed them as far as the east is from the west, Lord. Father, we thank you that we could come into that promise that you gave to Israel, Lord, that we could come and become brothers with them, united and grafted into that tree, Lord, that you prepared from the foundation of the earth through Abraham, Lord. And Father, we just thank you this morning that we can come into your presence through the blood of Jesus,
yes, Lord.
That we can become your sons and daughters, Lord. Father, that we can become joint heirs through Christ Jesus, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let us partake together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the King. Wonderful Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Try to let the Word of God penetrate your hearts and remember those things that were said this morning. As I've prayed, I said, Lord, we want to say what you want us to say and not say what we shouldn't say. So just take the Word of God with you. Stretch your hands this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His face towards you and give you His peace. El Señor te bendiga y te guarde. El Señor te mire con agrado y te extiende su amor. El Señor te muestra tu favor. Y conceda La Paz. Go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Come back tonight and be part of our wonderful time in Spanish, hearing the word. I have such a great awareness that God wants to have a part of our congregation, Hispanic and Asian and everything else. And so let's make it happen. Let's invite people in. This is the time to invite others. Thursday night, Wednesday night.